Men's Work, Taking a Stand Against Violence by Paul Kivel of the Oakland Men's Project. For a free catalog listing hundreds of books, audio, and videotapes about self-help and 12-step recovery issues, please call 1-800-328-9000, toll-free in the United States, Canada, and the Virgin Islands. Outside the U.S. and Canada, call 612-257-4010. This tape begins with a role play that dramatizes one source of male violence. It involves a 10-year-old boy who's sitting in a chair at home watching TV. His dad walks up to him holding a piece of paper.
Turn off that set.
Oh, Dad.
Turn it off now. Oh, this place is a mess. Why isn't it cleaned up?
I was going to do it after the show.
Excuses. You always have excuses. Have an excuse for this? What is it, anyway?
My report card.
I know that. What's that right here? Math? D?
I know. I did the best I could.
Sure you did. You're just stupid, that's all. You know what a D stands for. Dummy, that's what.
It's not fair.
Sit down. I didn't say you could go anyplace. Oh, what's the matter? You gonna cry about it? Poor little mama's boy. You are such a wimp. When are you gonna grow up and act like a man?
Hello. I'm Paul Kivel. What you just heard was a scene that demonstrates how men in our society get training in violence. And even though this was a role play, for many of us, it's a snapshot of real life. This scene may remind us of our own childhood. Or we may recognize ourselves in the father. It's a scene that we may have taken for granted, not questioning the father's right to, quote, discipline his son, unquote. Did this role play bring up some feelings for you? That happens for a lot of men when we do it in our workshops. So before moving on, let's pause for a minute. Let yourself feel any feelings. Then take a deep breath and let them go. If you want to take a longer pause or talk with someone about what you're feeling, do that now. Just stop the tape and come back when you're ready. Abuse of power and violence are taken for granted in our society. They dominate our lives and our relationships. We hurt others through physical abuse, verbal abuse, and sexual assault, through harassment, and through discrimination. We hurt ourselves through suicide, alcohol and other drug abuse, through stuffing feelings and neglecting our health. It all adds up to a cycle of violence and pain in which we are hurt. And we're encouraged to deal with our pain by hurting ourselves and others. You and I have a role in this cycle. As men, we are trained to perpetuate the violence. And that violence surfaces in the ways we relate to women, to children, to other men, to other nations, and even to our planet. Control is a key issue in men's lives. Controlling other people, controlling our feelings, controlling situations. We learn early on that the world is a dangerous place. Staying in control while staying safe is the basis for many of our actions. And violence is the ultimate attempt to control. I work with the Oakland Men's Project in California, a community education program. Our mission is to challenge the cycle of violence and all its sources. Our method is helping people learn to be loving and powerful without being abusive. We help men develop alternatives to violence. In 1979, when I started doing this work, I thought I was different. I thought rapists were sleazy strangers in overcoats who hung out in dark alleys. I viewed men convicted of violent crime as strangers to me, people I had nothing in common with. At that time, I thought I knew all about men and violence. I didn't rape or hit women. I supported the women's movement. I didn't tell sexist jokes. I had gay and lesbian friends. I thought I was through with the cycle of violence in my life, that my own work on violence was largely behind me. I was wrong. My work brought me face to face with incest offenders, convicts, and wife batterers. It also brought me to ordinary men in our public workshops, men who carry briefcases to work and raise children and go to church. There was Dick, white, early 40s, who had a stable family and middle-class background. He'd molested a daughter from a second marriage. Brian was black, early 20s, upper-middle-class background, short-term relationships, short-term jobs. He was an alcoholic and had attempted suicide more than once. There was Don, Filipino, in his early 50s, heavyset. He hit his wife. As a kid, he'd hung out in gangs to escape his father's beatings. John, white, early 50s, a minister, molested two daughters in succession. And Charles, Lee, Steve, plus Joe, the list could go on. After a while, it became hard to separate these men from each other, and from myself. The ordinary men were extraordinarily violent, and the violent men were quite ordinary. Much of what we learned was about power. Power counts for a lot in our society. And with the abuse of power comes violence. It cuts across racial, ethnic, and class lines. At some point in our lives, almost all of us have been the targets of violence. We've been hit, bullied, yelled at, shamed, or abused. For men, violence is the great equalizer. That comes across in the role play we just heard with the father and son. All this is troubling, but it also gives us hope. We stand on common ground. We've got a lot of shared experience. Working together, we can unlearn violent behavior. We can prevent or stop violence that happens around us. Later on, you'll hear a lot more about this. I'd like you to take three main ideas away from this tape. One is that men in our society are trained in countless ways to be violent. Two, we can accept ourselves, but not our violent behavior. And three, we can practice alternatives to violence. You and I can stop the cycle. We use role plays a lot in our work because they make experiences easy to see. You heard a role play at the beginning of this tape, and there are more coming up. Sometimes men have trouble with role plays. They can bring up memories that don't feel good. Sometimes there's pain. Other times there's anger or even rage. That's why it's important to take a breather after each role play. Stop the tape if you want. Stretch, relax, and note any feelings that come up. Write about these feelings or talk to someone about them as soon as you can. If you're going to a self-help group or seeing a counselor, talk about this tape. Also, remember that there's no need to work through this tape in one sitting. You can listen in segments and take your time to do the exercises. In fact, the tape is designed for that. Better yet, listen to this tape with another man or group of men. Share your problems with violence and your solutions. You can also act out similar role plays yourselves. Have someone in your group take the part of the men and boys in these scenes. At the end of your role plays, have the main character turn to the group and ask for help in handling the situation at hand. Support each other as you take a stand against violence. One more note about the role plays. Many of them involve conflict between a man and a woman, since this is a major point of violence in our society. Remember that anger and violence are issues for all of us, no matter what our sexual orientation. And as you listen to the role plays, mentally change the she's to he's and vice versa, whatever fits for you. I ask that you listen to this tape carefully. Open up to the role plays and do the suggested exercises. But I also ask that you take care of yourself. The point is not to experience shame or guilt, but to see how violence comes up in your own life. Telling the truth about this helps us step beyond violence and into healing. I will tell you when to stop the tape and do the exercises and when to turn the tape on again. Please stop the tape now if you need to and get a pen and some paper or a tape recorder. Come back when you're ready. One final note before we go further. working with this tape cannot take the place of counseling or therapy. If you are or have been violent in a relationship or have a history of violence, you may need to work with a trained professional or join a group that teaches alternatives to violence. If you have a problem with alcohol or other drugs, you'll want to address that right away, too. Begin by looking in the Yellow Pages under Alcoholics Anonymous. The people who answer can give you more information about what to do next. If you're already in recovery from addiction, that's great. You can use your existing resources for help in working with anger and violence. In any case, whether you're listening alone or with others, this tape is your project. It's your chance to learn, to change, to be more effective in the world. I hope that you'll start to come to terms with anger and violence in your own life. I also hope that you'll take action to prevent or stop the violence you see. Together, we can make a start right now. Let's begin with an exercise we at the Oakland Men's Project call the Act Like a Man box. Please take your pen and paper and draw a large box in the middle of the page. Inside this box, write words that describe the ways you learn to be male. To get started, think back to the role play with the father and son. Then, complete any of these sentences. Men are supposed to be. Men are supposed to do. Men are supposed to have. Men are not supposed to. Write your answers inside the box you drew. Stop the tape and take 5 minutes for this exercise, then come back. Now, let's look at what's in your box. Many of the men in our workshops fill up the box with words they heard while growing up. Those words came from parents, teachers, and coaches. They came from relatives and friends, and they came at us from books, from television, from movies. Imagine the effect of all those voices coming at us.
Get tough.
Be brave.
Get it together.
Gotta be strong.
Stay in control.
Be on top.
Grow up.
Get a good job.
Get money.
Walk like a man.
Talk like a man.
Measure up.
Yell at people.
Get good grades.
Don't cry.
Don't make mistakes.
Don't back down.
Don't let people push you around.
Take it.
Keep it.
Be in charge.
Be cool.
Don't touch.
Measure up.
Suck in your gut.
Keep it up.
Get to work.
Hold your head up.
Take care of it.
Get some girls.
Drive.
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 It's like a chant with many voices, all telling us how to be male. These phrases represent pressures on us to be violent. Many of us are so used to hearing these words, we don't even notice them anymore. What happens to men who don't live up to these expectations? In other words, what happens to men who step outside the box?
Jerk.
Punk.
Wimp.
Wuss.
Nerd.
Fag.
Queer.
Dope.
Pussy.
Girl.
Geek.
Baby.
Loser.
Mama's boy.
Mark.
Gay.
Nerd.
Well, we often get called names. Our fear of being labeled feminine or gay is a powerful tool for keeping us in the box. Every time someone uses a word like queer or fag or gay as a tease, a taunt, or a challenge, it becomes unsafe for all of us. A lot of male violence results from men trying to act a little more tough or a little more abusive in order to prove to others and themselves that they're not gay, that they're in the box. All this starts early. Many of us can recall that our parents stopped holding us when we were age 4 or 5. Many of us were verbally or physically abused as children. And about 1 out of every 6 of us was sexually assaulted. This, along with the names we got called, was early training of forces inside the box. There's one crucial thing to remember about our Act Like a Man training. It gave us no real choice. When we felt anger, we were encouraged to act out. When we faced a situation we didn't like, we were encouraged to get our way. And often, that meant getting violent. The Act Like a Man box is confining. It doesn't give us much room to move. It's lonely and dark in there. We can't see much. And it seems that there are only two places to be in life, either in the box or outside it. Either a champ or a chump. Winner or a loser. Man or boy. What's more, you can never prove you're man enough to stay in the box very long. You may be on top today, but you'll be challenged tomorrow. Someone will pick a new fight. Someone will take away your girlfriend, your job, or your money. The box is really a stack of cards, ready to topple at any minute. We're even more vulnerable to being challenged as men if we are poor, working class, men of color, gay, or disabled. Something like this also happens to women and girls. To see this, do another quick exercise. Take out another sheet of paper. This time, draw the outline of another box in the middle of the page. Now, think about how you'd complete these sentences. Women are supposed to be. Women are supposed to do. Women are not supposed to. Write your answers inside the box. To get more out of this exercise, ask a woman to do it also, then compare your answers. Please do this exercise now. Stop the tape for about 5 minutes and then come back. There you've got it, the Act Like a Woman box. When we do this exercise in our workshops, the box fills up pretty fast with messages like these.
Be polite. Take care of the kids. Be sexy. Don't be smart. Be clean. Be available. Don't ask questions. Be pretty. Be emotional. Depend on others. Take care of the house. Put others first. Cry. Be nice. Don't be too smart.
Here's another way to bring this idea home. In our workshops, we ask women, what's the one thing you never want to hear from a man again? We get answers like these.
Bitch.
You're too emotional.
Must be a woman driver.
Why is this place such a mess?
The baby needs changing.
Can you keep those kids quiet?
Let me take care of that for you.
That's your problem.
You're acting just like a man.
You're just like your mother.
Oh, it's that time of the month again.
Nothing's bothering me.
Hey, what's for dinner?
Wear my socks.
You better not make me angry.
Each one of these male expectations reflects one of the qualities in the Act Like a Lady box. What happens to women who grow outside the box? Well, they might get hurt. Some of us hit or sexually assault women to get what we want. Others use verbal, emotional, or intellectual tools to control women and to get sex when we want it. Some of the lines we use are,
what's the matter? Don't you like me?
Have another drink.
Let's get to know each other a little better.
You look tense. Let me rub your shoulders.
Relax. You'll enjoy it.
I spent a lot of money on you.
There are lots of other women out there.
Stick with me and you go far in this job.
Show me you love me.
It's time, baby. It's time.
You got me all excited.
You can't leave me like this.
Let me show you I care.
You don't know how good it can be.
Maybe the Act Like a Man box and Act Like a Woman box seem old hat to you. You've thought about traditional sex roles before. You've gone beyond that. Please stay with this for a minute. go back to the Act Like a Man box and look for a word or phrase that's still an issue for you. Mine is don't cry. I learned this early on, and for many years I did not cry at all. But later I discovered feelings I wanted to express, and some of them meant crying. Today I can cry when I need to, but you can bet that I look around to see who's watching first. That old training dies hard. What parts of the box are you trying to unlearn? Something like this often happens with the Act Like a Woman box. Look at it a minute and see if there's anything that you still expect women to live up to. When we ask men in our workshops to do this, some of them come up with nothing at first. Then we ask some questions. For example, have you ever interrupted a woman or dismissed her ideas simply because she's a woman? Have you made a comment in public about a woman's body? Or discussed a woman's body with another man? In your sexual relationships, have you left care for birth control up to the woman? Have you ever used your voice to silence a woman? Or have you slapped or shoved a woman? Have you ever had sex with a woman when you knew she didn't want to? We also give men a couple of simple tasks to do. For example, the next time you talk to a woman, notice what happens when you listen. Do you get distracted by thoughts about her body? Do you want her to finish up so you can say what's on your mind? Also, speak up the next time you hear a comment about women drivers or other put-downs of women. See how hard it is for you to challenge this kind of talk. Imagine what it must be like for a woman to do that. Right now, just go back to your drawing of the Act Like a Man and Act Like a Woman boxes. Circle any phrases in either drawing that still apply for you. Then, think how these attitudes color your behavior. See if you can come up with one recent example for each thing you circle. Please stop the tape to do this and come back in 5 minutes. Given these kinds of messages, are you surprised that we edge towards violence? Keep in mind that violence is much more than just hitting someone. There's verbal violence, sexual violence, and even emotional violence. For example, think again about the father-son role play. How much damage is the father doing by calling his son stupid and by telling him not to cry? We can take this even farther. Not only is violence embedded in our thinking, in the messages we get every day, it's also built into the very structure of our society. Start with the fact that people differ in many ways. They differ in race, they differ in wealth, they differ in education, religion, physical ability, and sexual orientation. They differ in many other ways as well. These differences are used to separate people into groups, those who have more power and those who have less power. Some people are denied access to education, to housing, to jobs, and to government protection solely because they're different from others. And, like it or not, all our relationships take place in this complex web of power. An easy way to see this is to make another chart, the power chart. Draw two vertical columns side by side. Label one column more powerful, label the other one less powerful. Now, think of all the different ways people in our society are divided into two groups, one with more power and one with less power. For example, adults and children, men and women, bosses and workers, teachers and students, rich and poor. Take these categories, along with any others that you can think of, and write them down in the appropriate place on the chart. For instance, place teachers in the more powerful column and students in the less powerful column. Take 5 minutes or so to stop the tape and do this, then come back. When we do this in our workshops, we get the same answers over and over again. In the more powerful column, we list men, adults, bosses, teachers, whites, rich people, able-bodied people, heterosexuals, native-born people, and the like. In the less powerful column, we find women, children, workers, students, people of color, poor people, disabled people, gay and lesbian people, and immigrants. Does all this sound too simple, too cliched? Before answering, think for a minute about how it plays out in daily life. Look at something as routine as applying for a job. In our workshops, we do role plays where one person is a Spanish-speaking young man in his early 20s. He's just finished a computer training program and is applying for work. He meets with a job recruiter who's come to campus to meet with students. Their meeting goes like this.
Hello, I'm here for an interview.
Oh, okay. Sit down. Say, you're on time. I'm impressed.
I'm always on time, and I really want that job.
You're going for one of the building maintenance jobs we have available?
Oh, no, sir. I'm applying for the computer programming job.
You are? Oh, well, that job takes a lot of training, a lot of math.
I am good at math.
Oh, you mean school math. On-the-job math is much harder than what you learn in school, Charles.
My name is Robert. I think I'm well qualified for this job.
Yeah, Robert. Well, I want to be direct with you. This is a demanding job. It calls for hard work every day. You have to be on time every morning. Frankly, I don't want you to get your expectations too high. Maybe you should start in maintenance and try and work up from there. We've had good luck with you people there, Robert.
Sir, I am not interested in building maintenance. I have been trained for computers, as you can see on my application.
Yeah, yeah. Well, someone will get back to you. You keep those other jobs in mind, will you?
How did it feel to listen to this scene? How do you think the young man felt? Take a minute. Take a deep breath and reflect on what happened in this not-so-unusual job interview. Was violence involved? This young man got a clear signal about where he stood on the power chart. Actually, it's crucial for all of us to know this. Why? Because if you have less power, you're vulnerable to violence. And if you have more power, you are pressured to be controlling, abusive, or violent. Besides physical, sexual, and emotional abuse, violence can also take the form of job discrimination. It can take the form of low pay. It can take the form of police abuse, poverty, and poor health care. These forms of violence affect our survival at a daily level. The power chart is enforced in two ways besides the actual violence. One is to blame people who are less powerful. We hear blame in statements like these.
Women ask to get raped when they dress that way.
They don't deserve any better.
Some of them like it.
They're too emotional.
It's for their own good.
She made me do it.
They're lazy and uneducated.
The second way is that we hear such statements all our lives. We actually start to believe them, and we start blaming ourselves. In short, we buy into the power chart, often without knowing it. This comes out in phrases like, "Maybe it was my fault," or, "What if they are right? What if I am weaker or less intelligent? What if there really is no way for things to get better for me? Nothing makes a difference anyway, so I'll just get stoned." Take a minute to look at the power chart and find yourself in all the categories that fit you. What do you notice? You probably found yourself in both more powerful and less powerful groups. Remember that the power chart is a fluid dynamic thing. Each of us constantly moves back and forth between the columns. In some situations, we are more powerful. In others, we have less power. That means we can experience violence from others, and we can initiate violence ourselves. The chart brings up another issue that's not so obvious. When we blame others, we act abusively toward them. But when we blame ourselves, we direct the violence inward. Alcohol and other drug abuse, not taking care of our bodies, high-speed driving, high-risk sports, suicide. Each of these are ways we turn the violence toward ourselves. You may already see ways that you turn your pain into inner violence. This tape is about stopping violence directed towards others, but stopping violence towards ourselves is just as important. The ideas in the boxes and the power chart reveal our training in violence. And we hear these ideas in many different forms. Take this young man who's getting ready to go out for a date. His roommates offer this encouragement.
You gonna make it tonight?
I heard she's hot.
I heard she's frigid.
Nah, she wants it.
Are you afraid, man?
Maybe he's a virgin.
Just remember, you got a right to what you want.
With that kind of message to stay in the box, men feel pressure and pain. And often they pass that pain through anger or violence on to others. Remember the son from the first role play on this tape? The one who got hit by his father? This could easily be the same boy on a date a few years later.
You really look hot in that dress. Come here and sit next to me.
Okay. The dance was fun. Did you see who Carol came in with?
Yeah.
Hey, what are you doing?
Just trying to be friendly.
Well, okay, but take it easy.
Hey, I like you. Don't you like me?
I had a good time with you tonight.
You're not acting like it. Loosen up a little.
Wait a minute. Don't touch me that way, please.
You're not uptight, are you? I am not a rapist.
Look, I know you're a nice guy, but I have to get up early tomorrow. It's getting late. Maybe you should leave.
Leave? Are you crazy? I just got here. Don't play with me. I'll show you a good time. Relax. You'll enjoy it.
Get your hands off of me. No! It's time for you to leave.
What thoughts or feelings came up for you as you listened to this scene? Were you ever in a dating situation like this? We can see his early training to be a man, the peer pressure, his expectations of her. All these push him to abuse her. Instead of resisting that pressure, he gives in. It's clear that even our normal dating patterns can be a setup for violence. That's how the cycle of violence can work. We see that others get their way through violence, so we use it ourselves. This kind of situation can lead to rape, which does have a devastating effect on a woman, with long-term consequences to her health, sense of trust and safety, and ability to relate to men. However, it's so much a part of our training as men that we might be surprised or defensive that our behavior was even questioned. I'd like to end this part of the tape with an exercise. The purpose is to spot the effects of the Act Like a Man box in your own life. Please respond to the following questions by writing or speaking. Stop the tape at any point if you need more time. Then come back when you're ready. Have you ever worried that you weren't tough enough? Have you ever been hit by a man? As a child, were you ever hit by another boy? Did you ever tease, pick on, or bully someone younger, smaller, or weaker than you? Do you still do this? Have you ever had sex with a woman when you knew she didn't want to? Finally, how has the Act Like a Man box affected your life?
Now, turn the tape over to Side B.